Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our life. Even as we progress, Lord, there are things that we leave behind, things that we bring forward, things, oh God, that we overcome in our life, because your word says to those who overcome. And we thank you, Father God, that you have called us to overcome. And the greatest conquest is the conquest of our own soul and our own body. For only when we have no sin and nothing of the devil in us can we outwardly have dominion over Satan and all his works out in the world. So we thank you, Father God, that you continue to show us areas in our soul that we can grow in you, areas in our soul we can conquer. We thank you, Lord, that your word continues to be established, cause us to be strong in you and one spirit in you. It is our desire, Father, that those who are here and those who are yet to join us and those who are going to be part of all the work of God in this end time revival will find the one spirit and the one accord that you have called all of us to. To all that you call us to, Father, we give you the glory, worship, and honor. Let your word go forth. Let your word go forth in might and power. Let your word heal our lives today. Today especially, we ask that your healing word would go forth. Words that will heal our soul. Words that will heal wounds in our life. Words that will heal our past. Words that will heal our present. Words that will establish us in our present, strong in you, that will bring us forward into the greater things of God. For it is your will that your people be a part of your glory. It is your will, Father, that the strongest among us and the weakest among us would taste of your glory. So we ask, O God, that you would enable that strength, that anointing to flow forth, that we could all reach to the place to be in the perfect will of God, in spirit, soul, and body. That we all reach to the predestination that you have ordained our verse of Romans 8, where we are predestined to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, we pray for everyone here. To that end, we pray for those who are yet to join us. To that end, we pray for the whole body of Christ, those who are watching these live stream and those who are all over the world who are a part of this work. We thank you, Father, and we bless each one and ask for your healing grace to pour abundantly in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. What are soul ties and what are we looking at in the Bible? There are two ways to look at it. On the negative side, you look at soul ties and its effort and its results. On the positive side, we look at how to be one in the Spirit. Because soul ties is what I call pseudo-oneness, while spiritual ties are the true things that God wants to show. Soul tie is like human love. Spiritual ties is spiritual love. The agape love that can only come from God. And spiritual ties can only come from God. And all of us aspire to agape love. But the road to agape love goes through understanding our soul. Even Peter, in the book of John, struggles in his love for Jesus. And he found it hard to differentiate between, is it filial love? Is it agape love? And filial love can be a spiritual filial love. Because filial is like friendship or brotherly love. And whenever sometimes the word filial comes in, like Philadelphia, all this, it talks about church of brotherly love. And so the word filial is used, translated for brethren, of brotherly love. And there is a spiritual aspect and there's a natural aspect. In the book of John, we see Peter struggling. He struggled to express his love for Jesus. Just like all of us struggle to express our love for Jesus. And that is our human fault and condition. How else do we learn about love except through our parents, our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our loved ones, our husbands, our wives, our brothers and sisters in the Lord and in the flesh, and our extended family, guardians, and those who are orphans, learn from those who adopted them. How else do we learn about love except through human relationship? And that is both our blessing and our curse. Our curse when we limit the love of God to the human level. Our blessing when we learn that these are only elements that point to a higher and greater love that we can emulate. That's our fallen race that has its limitation. So in the Gospel of John, in chapter 21, Peter was being brought back to the Lord. And the Lord knows one thing. The only way Peter can sustain his ministry or sustain his walk in the Lord is from his love for the Lord. And when you think about that, I was asked by Kevin. Kevin wrote me an email and says, you know, he's not doing as much devotion as he desires. And so I replied the email and says, how to have a devotional life, how to read the Bible more, how to be more diligent. And my basic reply is, it must come out from love. It cannot come out from zeal alone. Zeal alone can only last certain length. It must come out from a deep love for God. And if you can reach inside you and find that love for God, it will sustain your devotional life. It will make you want to get up in the morning and pray. It will make you want to stay up a bit later and pray. It will make you want to take time away from the distraction of this life and spend time with God. That love drives you. And if it's performance that drives you, or having a good record that drives you, it cannot last long. If it's condemnation or just wanting a devotional life, also cannot last long. It has to be born out of this genuine love. And even in a ministry, I don't think any ministry can be sustained just for any other sake except for the love of God. It is the love of God that drives any true ministry. And also, if any ministry is not driven by the love of God, there is a shallowness about the ministry. Some ministries are driven for money. So after some time, they lack the depth. And some ministries are driven by fame. And after that, also they lack depth. But when a ministry is driven by the pure love of God, it comes out in the end. It is an invisible force that is intangible, but yet tangible in the spirit. There's something that flows through. We all know that if your life is in love with God, and in love with Jesus, the people around you know. They feel your love for God. Love is contagious. Unfortunately, soul love is also contagious. But love in itself has this contagious effect. It makes others love what we love. And in bringing Peter back, Jesus knows. He cannot just tell him to come back. He cannot just persuade him to come back. He cannot just convict him to come back. He cannot just motivate him with many things, the carrot or the stick, to come back. He has to help him find his love again. And in chapter 21, knowing that Peter has denied Jesus 3 times, as they were all eating breakfast, Peter was taken aside by Jesus in John chapter 21 verse 15. And Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." Now, when Jesus calls you by full name, that's a dangerous time, right? The only time anybody calls you by full name is they got something serious to tell you. And so it says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now the word "these" refer to, in the Greek, to things.
The Greek has a way to put it where when you say these, whether it refers to people or things. Because things are neuter. And people are either masculine or feminine. And so in a sense, Jesus was not asking us to compare our love with other people. He was not looking at John and the other people and say, do you love me? Then all these people love me. He said, do you love me more than all these? And he could be looking at the fishing equipment. Because Peter said, I go fishing. He could be looking at all the things around in life and says, do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Now, in the Greek, we all know this, it's been taught everywhere, that Jesus actually says, and the Greek word for agape, the verb for agape is a noun. The verb for agape is agapao. Yeah. Do you agapao me? Jesus says. And Peter says, you know, Lord, that I phileo you. And then Jesus just receive it as it is. So there was a great difference in the gap in love. And Jesus was saying, feed my lambs. Then Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agapao me? No. He's like, now Jesus was not asking for assurance of love. He was trying to draw something out. Because Jesus knows all things. Like Peter said, he knows all things. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Still cannot reach out. And then he says, tend my sheep. And then in verse 17, and this was the time that he hurt Peter. Because the word grief is there. He felt sadness, sorrow. That's like a type of hurt, right? So he felt this grief coming. But that's because Jesus now says in the Greek, do you phileo me? Say, whenever Jesus says, do you agapao me? He says, oh, you know, that's high standard, I phileo you. Now Jesus uses the Greek word phileo. And he says, Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? So not only because he asked three times, but it was like Jesus lowered the standard of love. And said, even at this level, do you really love me? And Peter was grieved, felt sad, felt hurt, because Jesus asked him the third time, do you phileo me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. And then Jesus says about feeding his sheep and then told him something that will happen in his life. Jesus was saying that one day he's going to die for him. See, he has to be giving his life for Jesus. And Jesus was drawing out his love for him. And it's there that I believe something must have happened to Peter. He denied Jesus three times. Now he has confessed three times at least that he phileo Jesus. And in fact, the tradition is that Peter was crucified upside down when he was, in the end, crucified for the sake of Christ. And the tradition is that when he was about to be crucified, he says he was not worthy even to be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. So he's always felt that low. That's why he always said, I find that he couldn't come to the extent of the level of Jesus. Why is that so? Is there something that is missing that John found? John loved Jesus. John was bold. And John wrote this book. And John, in verse 20, says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That is John himself. So he somehow knew about that situation. Following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? He knows that John was really someone who was deeply in love with Jesus. And Peter says, Lord, what about this man? So here Jesus asks him, do you love me? Yes, do you love me? Yes, do you love me? Yes. And then one day you die for me. And then he looked around at John. You know, how can Jesus never ask him? And then he says, what about this man, you know, who love you, or who seems to love you, who seems to be close to you? And Jesus says, if I will that he remains still, I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Well, Jesus said, don't worry about his love for me, you just follow me. You know, what do you mean, what about this man, you know? What do you think Jesus, he was asking? He says, Lord, you know, what about this man, he says. What about this man? What was he asking? And he is asking, what will happen to this man? What is his future going to be like? And Jesus says, that's not your concern. You just follow me. And because if Jesus was asking him to give his life for him, so he turned around. What about that man? He must give his life, you know. Not just me, him too. So we die, he died too. I must die, he must die. Well, end up John never died. John was the longest living of them all. And what Jesus wants was, we all must love the Lord as we are. We just follow the Lord. So Jesus does deal with this love, and John seems to appreciate this love that one need to have. And John is attracted to people who love the Lord. Apparently, in the New Testament panorama, he started being close with Peter as Peter walked with God. And he only became not so close. You always see Peter and John, Peter and John, Peter and John all the time. And then later on, they became not so close when Peter began to please man. And went with James and all the group to kowtow to the circumcision people. And that was when John was not so much attracted anymore to that. John seems to have a different level of what we got, where he wants to love God. He really wants to love God. And he really wants to love those who love God, to be close. Why was he different? I believe one thing is, John does not have soul tie. He has spiritual tie. And God chose him to be the one to receive the revelation. In fact, Jesus knew this John was following him all his life. And in fact, in the panorama, you saw them joking about John. Because John was James' brother, the James who got martyred. And Peter and Andrew and James, I mean, they are used to be business together in fishing. So whenever Jesus walked, you saw John always walking close to Jesus. Peter sometimes in front, sometimes at the back. So when he got some things to say that he might not want Jesus to hear, he will walk at the back and talk. As if Jesus doesn't know. And then he will be at the back and they will be joking and say, you know, there goes that pet. So John is the pet. And so it's okay, you know, to be a pet of Jesus. And some of us were wondering, you know, is there any more room? A lot of vacancy. Jesus would want more people to be like him. Now here's my question to you. What make them like they are? Why only, you know, one person dare to lean on Jesus' bosom? Well, let me tell you, If Jesus were to take us all back temporarily, and we were to be given a chance to live with Jesus when he was manifest in the flesh, let's give us 3 months. Let's say all of us are taken back in time, and we got a chance to follow Jesus like his disciples for 3 months. You know, all of us would behave differently. Of course, some of you will be asking Jesus questions all the time. Hey, Jesus, what about you? And Jesus said, okay. And some of you might not even dare to ask Jesus. You'll be just following near him. Anything Jesus needs, oh, here's your water. Oh, here's that. You see, we all still behave differently. The fact is that our personalities are causing us to behave differently. And then some of us will be just staying away from Jesus, far away. And every time he preaches, you will absorb everything, but you always stay a distance. You wouldn't dare to come too near him, or in case you offend him, in case he thinks that you're too much. And so we all will react differently. The funny thing is, all of us will react differently. And we ask ourselves the question, why? We react differently because of our personality. We react differently because of our understanding of love. Just like no two couples are the same, no two marriages are the same. You express your love differently. Isn't it that the most common problem among humans is that one is trying to express the way they love the other is not receiving it. The other sees it as an irritation. You say, we got such thing. All right, give some example. Let's say, which is typical of most concerned ladies, they say, hey, what about this? Did you pack your bag? Did you do this? Hey, how about your shirt like that? Are you going on this trip so long? When did you do this? So, you know, so if you're a fresh newbie in marriage, you absorb all that in. I'm the king of the house. 3 years later, you say, "Aiya, why must you touch my clothes? Why must you fold my clothes?" And then 6 years later, "Don't touch my things." So, but all the other side was doing, and not talking about you, you know. For a moment, she looked at me quite fierce. Okay. Illustration. So, because from the beginning, I never let my wife pack my clothes. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, from the beginning, I pack my own things. I'm so self-independent. And so I know some couples, you know, some husbands, they don't pack one. When they travel, their wife pack everything. Until one day, they travel there, hey, what is a bra doing here? Okay, so anyway. And so from the beginning, she never packed my things. We make all this arrangement from early in the marriage. And one day, you and I must do marriage counseling to people, the young ones. And anyway, the wife doing that is just expressing the love, but the over concern to the other person becomes irritable at some point. Or the other way around, let's say the husband, you know, starts expressing themselves by, you know, buying things. Every time they buy things, they buy things. At first, your loved one might appreciate, he remember me. Until your house full of teddy bears, or your house full of whatever things, then until in your 3rd year or 6th year of marriage, say, "What, this one again? Why no imagination?" So the communication of love in all problems is always at the heart of it. Sometimes people intend to show love, intend to do well, but the other side doesn't perceive it well. I think as humans, generally, there are not too many humans that are really intend to do evil. Think about that. I don't think sometimes the people who are hurting your life intend to hurt. But yet we still hurt one another. We have no intention to. There are people who intend to hurt. Those, you know, put them among the evil group or the bad group. But Why is it that people who have no intention to hurt one another still hurt one another? Why do we do that? It's because we are lacking the communication understanding and we are so different in personality. Which is why part of love is accepting the person as they are. So somebody wrote a book called 7 Different Types of Expression of Love. I think some American author or some British author wrote the book. And how people express their love differently. And so following their different personalities. But part of the problem in sotai is this. The root of sotai is this, which is what we all want in human nature. Every one of us want to be loved. We want to be loved. Not a single one of us could say, oh, I don't want to be loved. Right? Every one of us want to be loved. Want to be loved by God, want to be loved by people. It's innate in our nature. It's a vacuum God created that we want to be loved. And then the other part is this. We want to show love. It gives our life happiness. It gives our life joy. When we show love, we feel good. It's innate in us. God made us to be like Him. To receive love, to show love. Of course, God is self-sufficient in Himself. But God wants to show love. But we need to receive His love and we need to give out His love. It is born inside us. Soul tie is when that vacuum got twisted. And we end up accepting a lower standard of love. That we could have the higher standard of love. We are so hungry for love, we will accept love in any shape or form. Even when it's a love that dominates us. So you get people who get dominated. Even if it was, and they have this syndrome, I forgot to give a name for the syndrome. When a bad guy kidnaps a victim, and the victim has been under the kidnapper for some time, the kidnapper develops a kind of syndrome. You might heard of that. You remember the word for that? It's a name after a person. It's a name of a person where the victim develops a dependent relationship upon the kidnapper and might even fall in love with the kidnapper and then they have a codependent relationship. We are so hungry for love and acceptance that we will take it, anything, if we can't find any it in the best shape and form is in our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are so hungry and so much a vacuum of that we sometimes compromise to accept it in any shape or form. And sometimes marriages come out of that, where people have been looking for the right one for 66 years. And the 67 year, they say, I never mind, like any shape form just come. First person to show at the door. And so, we're so hungry for that. That we just settle for anything. But that lowers our standard. And then we live with it the rest of our life. And we thought that's love as far as we can know. And in giving love also, unfortunately, the receiving of love and the giving of love may be two different things, but they flow from the same cup. If the cup is dented, it's the same cup you also serve. It's like giving and receiving. The law of giving and receiving is, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, with the same measure that you give, it's the same measure God give back to you. So if your measure is small, the measure also is small. But that involves not just quantity. I believe that also involves shape and form. In a way, especially in regard to love. The way, unfortunately, the way we love people, the law is such that it is equal to the way we have been loved. If the way you have been loved is you have been dominated, you know, you have somebody loves you, and you know Chinese parents, Asian parents, they love you, but seldom tell you that they love you. And my father never told me that he loved me. I have to accept that he loved me. His only expression that he loved me is chat wei. This is where he said, you know, have you eaten? It's his way of saying, I love you. Well, he loved me through food. And every time he gives me a beating, he say, do you want ice cream? So, yeah. But that probably is why I love ice cream. So, so it's my compensation. And it's funny how people express love. And so if we have been dominated, and thank God I met Jesus, and I'm saying that you don't have to live that way for the rest of your life. It can be cured. But if we have been dominated, you know how we express love? Through domination. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, and this is all you know this verse, but I read it before I conclude, and then we continue part 2 in the second service. In 1 John, it says chapter 4, verse 19. And he talked about fear and love, the context. Then suddenly in verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. That settles the law of love. The law of love is that our ability to love another person is directly dependent on how we have been loved as well, not just the quantity of love. And if we have tasted unconditional love, our life will change and become unconditional. A book on that will be Nicky Cruz, who was a gangster, and he was touched by David Wilkerson in The Cross and the Switchblade. And as a Mau Mau gangster, he has never been appreciated in love. But when he met David Wilkerson, this is what he threatened David Wilkerson to kill him, to cut him up with a switchblade. Because it's in the book The Cross and the Switchblade. And then David Wilkerson, and he looked at David Wilkerson and said, you got 9 shoes I don't have. Immediately David Wilkerson took his shoes and gave it to him. And he said, I could cut you up. And he says, if you cut me to 1,000 pieces, every piece will say, I love you. Wow, the gangster don't know how to react. Should he cut him up now? Then he got 1,000 voices in his head that say, I love you. Now at least one voice. And so he left him alone. But then, during the offering time, in a meeting where he called all the gangsters and preached the gospel, he turned to Nicky and said, you collect the offering. Everybody was watching, you know you're going to run away with the offering. But when he collected, something made Nicky Cruz bring the offering to God. Everybody was stunned. First time he's touched by God's love. First time he realized someone trusted him. Because nobody had trusted him, that's why he don't trust anyone. Nobody had unconditionally loved him. And his life started changing. 2,000 years of church history, we have many books that talk about people touched by God's love. Prison bars have not changed many prisoners. But how many prisoners you know who found Christ and came out different? Because of God's love. And we need to grow this capacity to receive love, and this capacity to give love is tied up together. Like they are one principle. And this growing to mature in love, depends on us maturing it out of soul ties. Soul ties is like baby love, like puppy love. Soul ties are like the first love that we know, the first acceptance, the first affection, the first kindness, the first softness that touched our heart that we felt, and that we need to be broken from. We need to grow out from him, from it. And in the second service, now that I cannot preach the whole message, I must give you the akan datang. The time to come. In the second service, I will show how Isaac has soul ties. His love for his wife actually grew out of soul tie. I'll give you the scripture for that. The scripture says, he was comforted after his mother's death. That is why Isaac ended up soul tied with his children wrongly. That is why he produced a relationship where one love one son, one love the other son. Strife in the home. And that is why Jacob grew up twisted also. He got a nature to twist and turn, but it became worse. And Jacob also ended up with soul tie. His marriage was built on soul tie because he was running away from his brothers. And there's no greater loneliness than one who has lost his home, left the parents, got nothing in his hands, don't know what future you will have, cannot go back to your home. Now where to go? And the first thing that he ever did was fall in love. Remember? He saw Rachel. And suddenly his heart, like he found love. But that love was a super strong soul tie love. It did heal part of his wounds. But it was not the same like God's kind of love. They can heal permanently. As a result, he himself began to love his children inequally. He ended up marrying four wives. But he got tricked. He ended up marrying two sisters. Then the two sisters fight for his affection. They soul tied all over the place. All the 12 kids were born in a situation with multiple soul ties. And you have a situation where brothers want to kill brothers. What kind of love is being produced? It flowed right through. In the New Testament, you have Barnabas has some soul tie with Mark. So it's all over in the Bible, and there is a way to be free from soul tie. And that is the love of God. And we'll talk about how to get touched by God's love in that area. Get completely healed, mature in your love. Now remember, don't feel condemned if you're already in some soul ties. Just grow out of it. Understand where you are. Let that soul tie be something you look back and say, I understand who I am now. Let me find something else to fill that vacuum. And a relationship, especially husband and wife relationship, that based on the fact that, let's say if my wife is secure in God's love, I am secure in God's love. And if we love each other, wouldn't that be a very strong relationship? But if my wife, her living and her death depend on my love for her, whenever I'm away, she's finished, correct? That is soul tie love. And Isaac has soul tie love, Jacob has soul tie love with some of his children. And when he lost Joseph, his brothers told Joseph, without them knowing that it was Joseph, if this lad, Benjamin, die, his father will die. That's how strong soul tie is. Because the other person can only exist because of you. And you exist because of that. But that is okay if your foundation is found in Jesus, who lives eternally and who loves unconditionally. But when you sow thy love, it's a type of puppy love that will dominate you and change the way you love people. Because the other law is working. How you are loved and how you love are equal in your expression. And if you want to love like Jesus loved, let's find God's love and the love of God. My time's up. Your lunch is coming. Unless you're 40-day fast. But let's all rise together. And let's sing that old hymn, The Love of God. The one with, the love of God is greater far than tongue and pen can ever tell. Yeah. It's an old hymn that talks about how great God's love is. The love of God. And let's reach out to God's love now. Some of you won't be in the second service, but you can get a message later. But the cure is this. I need to give you a cure. I cannot leave you all. I don't know. He didn't tell me the cure. Okay. The cure is God's love. Get touched by God's love. The vacuum. Everyone, admit it. If you don't admit it, say, I don't need love. I don't need love. Come on. We all need love. And if you're touched by God's love, then, and you understand all God's love, then you can express true love to people in a balanced way. The love of God. Amen. We sing a cappella. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His yearning child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When holy time shall pass away, and early thrones and kingdoms fall, when man who here refused to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, will drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, so rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever
Wormore and Dior, the saints and angels song. And now this day, the Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Pour out his love upon you. That you will know this great love of God. That your life will be filled with the peace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give you a good clap offering. And God bless each one of you. Amen.